Hey, what's up, you guys? I'm Andrea.
And I'm Haley.
And you're listening to Inhuman, a true crime podcast.
Andrea's episode this week, I need to share about what happened to me this last weekend.
Yes.
So I was in Indiana for a wedding. One of my best friends from college was getting married, and we were in Indianapolis for the wedding, and something not so happy happened on the wedding day.
Yeah.
And let me preface this with, everyone is okay. Everything is fine. The wedding was beautiful and went really well, and it's nothing like, oh my gosh, like I posted on my Instagram story, like, oh, some sort of true crime happened to me this weekend, and everybody was like, oh my god, are you okay? And I was like, yes.
It is crazy though. I mean, it is.
So basically the wedding was in this place that's a restaurant and like a public building that has ballrooms. And where the ballrooms are, there's a coffee shop, and that's where our, like, getting ready rooms were, where the bridesmaids were. I was one of the bridesmaids, I guess I should say that. And so we were getting ready in this room, and we left to go take photos because, you know, before the wedding,
you
take photos
with
your bridesmaids. Yeah. And we left, and all of our stuff was still in the room, like everybody's purses and bags with, like, our clothes, and there was food in there and all that stuff. We come back probably like 30, 45 minutes later and nothing was wrong. And then all of a sudden one girl is like, wait, I just got a fraud alert. Like, this is weird. Let me go figure this out. And then another girl was like, wait a minute, I did too. And then the bride was like, wait a minute.
Oh my gosh.
I did too.
And you're like, did I?
Right. Everybody's like, oh my God. And so then everybody like looked for their wallets. And it was just this moment of like, oh my God, what is happening? And in my mind, like, I checked my purse for my wallet, but wasn't even registering, like, what was going on.
Yeah.
And this was, like, as everybody else was realizing, or some of the other girls were realizing that their wallets were gone. So somebody robbed us.
That's so
crazy. They came in and took four wallets, and I think that he just took the ones that are, like, that were like
visible
on the top of bags.
Yeah.
Like they were still inside purses, but like mine was in my bag and then it was under like my clothes and stuff because we had changed and I put my old clothes like on the top of my bag.
Right.
So they couldn't just grab it. But then other girls had like purses and so they could just grab it. So it was like how shitty of a person do you have to be to rob a bridal party, including the bride? I mean, he didn't know which ones he took, but like seriously. And thankfully everybody got it figured out. The people that had to travel, their passports were at home. Everybody was able to like cancel their cards, and they apparently actually did get a photo of the guy through security footage, and the police came, which was like the most surreal thing because it's like the ceremony happened and then by the time the police came, the reception was starting, and it was like there's a police officer like outside taking this police report as like the father of the bride is giving his speech. It was so weird.
That is so weird. That's gonna be one for the books to tell for 20 years.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Oh yeah, but yeah, apparently he said, and I heard this from somebody else that talked to him. I didn't hear this directly from him, but apparently he said that this guy has done this before. But they don't know who he is. They just, like, have had similar reports.
How do people have access to that space? Like, is it just a free-for-all? Like, come and go?
It's like a public coffee shop that's in that space. And the room wasn't locked. And so, you know, somebody probably would have just thought he was in this area. But also, I don't think the police meant it had happened before here. It was, like, the charges that he made on the card was very distinct. So, yeah, it was just so distinct that they knew it was likely the same guy. But I haven't heard anything about what happened, but everyone was able to cancel their cards. The ceremony happened. It was beautiful and wonderful, and nobody got hurt or anything.
That's good.
But it was just so surreal having that happen to us. And it's not like it was, like, a sketchy area, you know, like, it wasn't yes, it was a public building, but it wasn't, like, anything sketchy. Yeah. So.
Well, hopefully that they have his picture and, like, this is a reoccurring thing. Hopefully somebody, maybe they can, like, put it out there and someone will come forward and be like, I know that motherfucker and, like,
yeah, exactly.
He's a criminal. Take him to jail.
Yeah, I hope so.
That's so crazy.
But, yeah, it was wild. And then that same night, like, later on in the reception, all of a sudden I get an alert on my phone that our home security system was going off.
Oh, my gosh.
And I was like, we're not home. Nobody's home. And
what is happening?
There's, like, it was so sketchy. So, like, then Rob, I, like, ran over to Rob because I'm, like, in the bridal party. So I'm, like, trying to help out with other stuff. So I, like, sprint over to Rob and I'm like, hey, look at this. So he took it and, like, took care of it. And the cops came and checked it out and didn't see anything. And when we got home, there was nothing. So I'm not sure exactly what set it off, but I'm glad that our security system
works
and that we have it. So
that's good. That's crazy. What an eventful weekend you had.
It really was. And I'm just so thankful mine wasn't stolen, because I wouldn't have been able to get back home on Sunday, because, like, I wouldn't have had my ID and other people had their passports, but I didn't, obviously. Yeah. So
that's crazy.
But yeah. You know, that's my little true crime-ish experience. You know, like I said, no one was hurt, but it was still kind of scary.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely scary. Okay, so now we're going to dive into my case for this week. This one came, I thought, highly requested. For some reason, I thought there was, like, 4 listeners that requested this. And if you did request it and I'm not naming you off right now, I'm very sorry. Please, like, message me on Instagram or something. But this case was recommended, I guess you could say, by Juliet and Matt. They're not together. They're 2 separate entities, but...
2 separate entities.
Thank you guys for sending in your case suggestions, because we definitely want to give you guys, you know, what you want to hear.
Yeah.
And this case is fucking crazy. I had heard this case, but I had totally, like, poofed it out of my brain.
Okay.
And didn't remember any of the details. And then I was telling Haley earlier that there's, like, recent developments in the last, like, couple of days. So it's, you know, it's pretty current, and I'm assuming that's probably why people want to, like, hear, right, like, what's going on and what happened and stuff.
Yeah, I haven't heard this one. Maybe when you start diving into it, I might remember some of the details, but that by the name, I don't know it.
Yeah, I think if you've heard it, you'll know.
Okay.
because some of the details are very gruesome, and I will just give a trigger. I'll give a trigger closer to the time too, but there is a lot of, like, gruesome details to this case.
Okay.
So if that's not your, it's not my jam either, honestly. but it's these kind of cases, like, or, like, it takes a lot for a case to really get to me, and these kind of cases really get to me.
Cause, oh, gosh, okay.
It's pretty morbid.
I'm scared now.
I will give you a trigger, so you can just stop listening to me talk. And
except I can't.
Yeah. Yeah. but I am going to be covering the case of Sydney Loof. So 24-year-old Cindy Loof was sweet, generous, she loved cats, and by all accounts would do anything for anyone, despite having her own issues. So some of the reports I read, like, she had some mental health issues. She was kind of struggling with things financially. You know, typical, like, I feel like kind of typical 24-year-old shit. I mean, when I was 24, I was like, I didn't know things.
I mean,
you know?
I'm 24 right now, and I don't know what the hell is going on 99% of the time, so.
Exactly. So, I mean, you know, everyone has issues, and I feel like when you're young, it's kind of a rite of passage. She had graduated from Neeli Oakdale High School, I believe that's pronounced correctly, in 2011, which is in Nebraska.
I was just going to ask, what state? Okay, Nebraska.
In Nebraska, yeah. She was currently, at that time, working as a cashier at a local hardware store called Menards.
I've heard of Menards. Oh, my gosh.
I have, too.
That was, like, a place that people would talk about all the time when I went to school in Indiana, and I was like, I don't know what that is. And, like, but everybody would talk about it. Ah, I feel so, like, in the know.
I used to watch a YouTuber, and she, I can't remember, she lived in, like, I think she lived in, like, South Dakota or something. She lived, like, where it was really cold, like, most of the year. And she would always get, like, her, well, not always, but she would get a lot of her seasonal decor from Menards. So it is a hardware store, but I guess they have, like, house stuff there, too. I'm pretty sure. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Isn't the jingle, like, save big money at Menards?
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure it is. I think it is.
I'm dead. Okay. Yeah, it may be. Okay, anyway. I don't know. That is funny. Okay.
Now that's stuck in my head.
So she was working at Menards, and she had also, much like, you know, some people at her age, had begun using the dating app Tinder.
Yep. I say yep as if I've ever used Tinder.
Never have I ever, and I'm so thankful because I've heard nothing but horror stories. This literal horror story, and then, you know, the quote-unquote horror stories.
I know Tinder. A lot of people have met their significant other through Tinder or other dating apps. I'm lucky enough to have met my significant other in high school, but that I'm just like, I'm sitting here like, yep, Tinder, and I'm like, no, I've never used Tinder.
Because, you know, it's a common thing with people your age that are not already married or engaged.
True.
On November 15th, 2017, she had plans to go on a date with a girl named Audrey. And she had met Audrey, obviously, through Tinder, and they had exchanged messages. And she was really excited about meeting up with her. They had been talking for a while, and it was, you know, flirtatious and fun, all that good stuff. And she reportedly sent pictures of Audrey to some of her friends prior to the date, just in case anything went awry, which, like, go girl, because that's really smart. And she had also made the comment to a couple of those friends that she really hoped that this girl was honest and didn't have a boyfriend, because I guess that's kind of a thing with Tinder. People lie about their sexuality, which I don't know why you would do that, unless you just... Right.
Unless it's, like, people wanting to experiment, and so they, like...
Yeah, I get that.
To not be straight so that they can experiment, but they really, like, have a boyfriend or something. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, but you're not straight if you're experimenting. I don't know. Whatever.
Exactly.
Don't do that. Don't lie about your sexuality.
Yeah, just be honest.
Yeah. We're accepting here. Do whatever you want to do. It's none of my business.
Yeah, we're accepting. Just don't lie.
Yeah.
You can do whatever you want, just don't lie about it.
Exactly. So earlier the evening before her date, she had posted on Snapchat the caption, like a picture with the caption, "Ready for my date." And her mom, Susie Loof, recalls seeing that Snapchat, and she actually took a screenshot, which is something she did often with her children, which is so cute because, like, it tells you, you know, when people take a screenshot.
Yeah, my mom, like... I don't post on Snapchat anymore, really, but my mom would always do that, like, in college, because she'd be like, oh, I want to have, like, the photos of you, and you never send photos, so I screenshot your Snapchat story.
That's so cute. That is really cute. But her mom, you know, was like, wait, you're going on a date? And had texted her, like, hey, like, who are you going out with? Like, where are you guys going? But Cindy didn't respond, which, you know.
I know you said how old she was, but...
24.
Can you tell me again? Oh, duh. We literally had a whole conversation about this. It's been a long day. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So she lived on her own. She was on her own, but she was really close with her parents and, like, had a good relationship with her parents. And her parents
are... I feel like my parents would do that.
So sweet and so cute and...
So
the following day, Cindy had been scheduled to go into her shift at Menards, but she never showed up.
Oh, no.
Her coworkers and friends began calling Cindy, trying to get in touch with her, because I guess, her friends were like, how was your day? How did it go? Like, give us all the tea. And
especially she wasn't responding. She was so excited about it.
Yeah. So, you know, everyone began to grow a little bit worried, and they were trying to get in touch with her, but they were unable to do so. Finally, they reached out to Susie, her mom, to see if she had heard or seen Cindy. But she hadn't, and of course, she immediately began to grow concern, knowing that Cindy had gone on a date the night before, and that she herself hadn't been able to contact her either.
That's got to be the scariest thing when your child's friends come to you and say, hey, have you heard from
your daughter? Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, because you would think she's probably more in touch with her friends than she is with her mom, and then they're not able to get in touch with her.
Exactly. Yeah,
that's got to be a sinking feeling for sure.
Oh, yeah.
So she tried again to reach out to Sydney, but there was no answer, and so she immediately notified police. And it seems like police did a pretty good job of, like, getting on top of things, because they pretty quickly went to her apartment where they found her vehicle parked outside. I guess her parents, it didn't really say if her, like, parents had a key or if they knew, like, where her spare key was, but they were able to enter her apartment, and her mom noticed that her purse, her phone, and her keys were all there, and some of the lights were on as well.
Oh, that's not a good sign.
No. So 3 days later, they began the search, of course, and 3 days later, they would search a location in Wilbur, Nebraska, including an apartment, looking for Sydney after reports that she was last seen in that area. And 2 days after that, Lincoln's police chief, which is the area that she lived in, called her disappearance concerning and urged the public to help in the search for her or to come forward if they had any information.
Okay.
So police launched a full search and investigation into Sydney's disappearance. After more than 2 weeks of searching, on December 4th, 2017, Sydney's body had been located. Authorities had blocked off an access in Clay Center, which is a rural town 90 miles west-southwest of Lincoln.
Okay.
And at that time, investigators said that they suspected foul play in her death. Okay, so here is the trigger, the additional trigger, I guess I should say. It was later revealed that foul play was most definitely the cause of Sydney's death due to the fact that Sydney's body had been dismembered into 14 pieces and was found stuffed into garbage bags and scattered along rural roads in Clay County.
Oh my God.
They were able to find this thanks to cell phone pings off the towers in that area.
So they found her body by cell phone pings?
Yes.
But her cell phone was at home?
Oh, that's a good question. Wait. Okay, maybe it was just her purse, her keys that were there.
Okay.
I don't know why I put phone. Maybe something did say phone, and then this was differing.
That could be, like, actually, something that was...
Yeah. Okay. Not only had Sydney been dismembered, her body had been fully drained of blood, and all of her organs, including her tongue, had been removed.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
And were they there?
They were never recovered. The autopsy ruled that Sydney's cause of death was homicidal violence due to strangulation. She had bruises on her wrists, indicating she had been bound. She had bruising consistent with strangulation, as well as bruising to the back of her neck. She also had several false start cuts, which, like, they started to cut into her and then stopped for whatever reason.
What the fuck?
Yeah, this is, like, some sinister, like, very sinister...
Yeah.
...stuff. Evil, horrific, sinister people that did this to her. And a specialist would later testify that there was clearly a couple of different tools used to dismember her, mainly a hacksaw. So, as I mentioned earlier, Sydney had sent pictures to some of her friends of this girl that she was meeting up with. Yeah. And one of those friends was Brooklyn McChrystal. And she actually thought up this genius idea to try and catch this catfish person who lured Sydney on this date that clearly had cost her her life. So she had the picture of quote-unquote Audrey.
Mm-hmm.
And Brooklyn created a fake Tinder profile and swiped until she stumbled across the Audrey profile.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. That's commitment right there.
Yeah.
She immediately messaged the profile and, you know, acted like she was interested, and the Audrey person was instantly flirty and was trying to meet up with Brooklyn. Brooklyn was able to get a phone number for this person and immediately handed it over to police. And I wrote, let's give Brooklyn a standing ovation because this is some next level shit and she deserves a reward for going way above and beyond for her friend. Because I feel like a lot of people would not do that.
No, and that's like scary. I mean, I know her; she created a fake profile and stuff, but you're still talking to someone who you're...
potentially murdered your friend. Yeah. I mean, that is scary. You're putting yourself at risk.
Why didn't the police do that? Like...
I was gonna say that, but I was like, I'm not gonna say it. It's like, you know, I mean, whatever.
I'm sure that they were doing their investigation, but
yeah, it seems like they did a good job. I mean, for the most part, a lot of stuff was just kind of like fell into their lap, I think.
Yeah.
Now, while all of this is transpiring, not too far away from Sydney's apartment in the neighboring town of Wilbur, which I mentioned they searched that area earlier, a couple had been renting out their basement to an Aubrey Trail, who was 51 at the time, and Bailey Boswell, who was 23, and noticed the extremely powerful smell of bleach and cleaner radiating from the couple's apartment.
Oh my.
Aubrey is a man, by the way.
Oh, okay.
It was really confusing to me when I was doing my research because I kept seeing pictures of a... like an older man and a younger girl, and I was like, Aubrey, who is this Aubrey person?
Oh, but I guess
I don't know any Aubreys that are male, so that was new either. To me. But
and Audrey was the name of the girl,
the fake profile.
Okay. Oh yep. Wow, that's real creative.
I know. Dumbasses.
Yeah, really.
So this couple. Was known by the people renting them the apartment to be antique dealers. However, they were actually into much worse.
Oh, God.
They were con artists. They would lie and manipulate people out of their money by selling them fake antiques. It was reported that at one point they sold a fake antique coin to a couple for $400,000.
Oh my God.
That is a lot of money to be like swindled out of.
Wow.
It was also reported that Trail and Boswell were into some pretty kinky things sexually, which like, I'm not kink shaming, but like, fuck these people.
Yeah.
They allegedly were ringleaders in a sex cult. Oh. And Trail would often refer to himself as daddy and would make others in the sex cult call him this.
No.
Like, gag me with a fucking spoon. Disgusting. And this dude is grotesque.
Oh. I feel like they always are.
Yeah, exactly. And supposedly, one of the sources I read was like, he had this following of young women around him. And I'm like, why?
Yeah.
You're fucking disgusting. Physically, emotionally, mentally, everything. How? And then the girl that Bailey Boswell, she's like 23. She's not like super, you know, attractive. But still, like, how do you pull a 23-year-old when you look like that and you're like 50 something?
That's just so gross. Like, maybe he had money. I mean, very well. And he probably was really good at talking his way through things.
Yeah. He probably didn't have money if he was living in someone's basement, but...
yeah. But he also swindled somebody out of...
$400,000, yeah.
So, that's just, you know, to each their own, do whatever you want, but that's just disgusting.
Yeah. Allegedly, they also thought and told people that they could harness certain abilities, like magical abilities.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he claimed that he was a vampire, and she claimed that she was a, like, head witch. Uh-huh. Which is like, okay, you know, like, I claim I'm a little witchy, and, like, I love vampires, but not, like, in this capacity at all.
Yeah.
And I guess people believed it. I don't know. Seems like some did and some didn't. And they also spoke on wanting to film and sell snuff films.
Oh.
Which, if you don't know, listeners, I'm sure you do, A snuff film is basically like a pornographic movie where an actual murder takes place.
Ugh.
And there was evidence of this, like them saying they wanted this on camera. So it wasn't you know, he said, she said. Okay. So now that I've told you guys a little bit about those shitbags, remember that phone number that Brooklyn handed over to the police?
Yes.
It belonged to Bailey Boswell.
Oh.
So, like, they're just, like, not smart, though. Like,
no.
Use a burner number, you know? Or, like, an app. I don't know. I mean, I'm glad they didn't, because, like, you know, police started to piece together that Sydney must have actually gone on a date with Bailey, pretending to be Audrey, based on, like, that information and the area that they lived in, and then the apartment smelling like bleach. Right. They were able to get in contact with Boswell, and she, of course, claimed, yes, she went out with Sydney that night, but later had dropped her off at a friend's house.
That's interesting that she admitted to, like, knowing her and going on a date with her.
Yeah. I think she probably thought that, like, they would figure that out pretty quickly, but she could lie. There was no proof that they were together the whole evening and...
Right. Okay.
You know, that kind of stuff. They requested that Boswell come down to the police station so they could question her formally, and she said, no, I can't. And they were just like, okay, fine.
Okay.
It was at this time, though, that they did a formal search of the bleach-covered apartment, which belonged to Boswell and her gross 51-year-old boyfriend, Daddy Aubrey Trail. And I'm, like, laughing, but I'm laughing at just how disgusting and grotesque and ridiculous these people are. I'm definitely not laughing at the case or any of the details of that.
No, so, we're laughing because we're uncomfortable.
Yeah. So in the apartment, they found multiple bottles of bleach.
Oh, wow.
Most of them were empty, but some were half empty. They found sex toys and other sexual paraphernalia.
Okay.
But they did not find one single drop of Sydney's DNA.
Okay.
And the apartment, so it's November, mind you, or December, November, December. The apartment's AC was on and it was set to 63.
Ooh, that's weird.
Yeah, very weird. Even though police had no evidence, they officially named Bailey Boswell and Aubrey Trail persons of interest in Sydney's murder. However, the couple had already hightailed it out of Dodge and were officially on the run. They posted several disturbing videos on Facebook claiming they were not involved in Sydney's murder, which to me is like a huge red flag and also very narcissistic because,
yeah,
like, why are you even putting yourself out there if you're not guilty?
Right. One, don't run. Two, if you're claiming you're innocent, talk to police. Brian Laundrie.
Yeah, exactly.
It just, yeah, that's so dumb and just makes you seem guilty in my eyes.
It does. There were sightings of them in not only Nebraska, but several states around Nebraska. And police were able to eventually track them down in Branson, Missouri. And they were able to bring them in on fraud indictments since they had no official evidence to link them to Sydney's, you know, murder. They only had circumstantial evidence at that point. In the hotel room, they found, because they found them in a hotel, they found a few phones in their possession. Two were burner-type phones that were pretty new from what they could tell. And they also found an iPhone. But the iPhone had recently been factory reset about 2 to 3 days after Sydney had went missing.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Like, what are you hiding there?
Yeah.
They also were eventually able to get tower pings for Boswell and Trail's cell phones. Like I mentioned earlier, the Sydney's phone that evidently was with her, not in her apartment, helped, like, the pings from that helped locate Sydney's remains.
Right.
And Boswell's phone pinged one tower in Clay County on November 16th, which was the day after Sydney went missing, and in the same county and area that they found Sydney's remains.
Okay.
So, of course, Boswell and Trail were arrested officially in the murder of Sydney Loof.
Wow, okay. And at this point, it's still pretty much all circumstantial.
Correct.
Okay.
While in jail, waiting trial, footage was uncovered from a Home Depot store showing the couple buying a hacksaw, 10 snips, which are like needle nose pliers, like really narrow type pliers, bleach, a fine tooth saw, and a drop cloth.
Okay.
And all of these items were purchased on November 15th in the morning, which was the same day that Sydney went on her date with Boswell and went missing.
Okay.
So that right there proves premeditation, since right. Sydney was still alive at that time.
Right.
It's also reported that Boswell was seen on security footage at Menards, the store that Sydney worked at, the same freaking day. So after she picked up all of those tools and whatever bullshit she needed to kill Sydney, she went right. to her work to stalk her, essentially.
Oh my God.
Like, she was seen on camera, like, walking behind her. They were never seen, like, talking or, like, communicating with each other. But she was definitely in the store, and she was definitely in close range to Sydney, which is creepy right. as fuck. Creepy as fuck.
Yeah. And again, just, like, shows some sort of premeditation.
Yes. The following morning, Boswell was seen again on security footage buying more bleach, roasting pans, trash bags, and coffee. And there was also one report, I could not confirm this in any other reports, but at some point in time, but you know, during all of this, they also bought a vintage meat grinder from a like a vintage type store or whatever. But I don't know if those were ever recovered or if that was even true. It could have just been like, you know, people trying to make it sound juicier and more disgusting than it already is. A lot of people suspected that the couple planned to perform some sort of ritual with Sydney, her, like with her organs or her body, or that they planned to sell her organs on the dark web. Since, like I mentioned before, the police were never, ever able to recover them. And there was actually, like, I guess other parts of her body that they were never able to recover. It didn't specify as to what. So I don't really know, like, what exactly they were referring to. But so Trail, when questioned, had changed his story many times, like the narcissist he is.
Yep.
One of the stories he told was that Sydney was involved in some of their sex games and things had gone awry. That he, Sydney, and two other women had been having sex and he accidentally sexually asphyxiated Sydney with an extension cord, but that she was completely compliant and that things had just gone wrong and he accidentally killed her, which, based on the security footage, was a fucking lie. Because he planned to kill someone, maybe not Sydney specifically, but he definitely planned to kill someone with all of that.
Yeah, and you're just coming up with this random story. Yeah. No.
Like, you're caught. You're done, dude. Like, just stop. Stop while you're ahead. Also, while in jail, the couple began sending letters to one another to get their story straight. Like, someone wasn't going to read them. They read them. They read all the letters. So they're like
idiots
trying to like say, yeah, babe, like when this happened, we did this, right? And like shit like that. And I'm like, get the fuck out of here. They're dumb. They're just fucking stupid.
Yeah.
And of course, the trial for these two was a fucking shit show. First of all, Aubrey Trail's dumbass decided to represent himself. Which is a terrible...
I love it when they do that.
I know. Like, how vain can you be?
Yeah.
That's not a good idea. You're not educated. You know nothing about the justice system or law.
Yeah.
Both Aubrey Trail and Bailey Boswell face charges of first-degree murder and the improper disposal of human skeletal remains. And then later, another charge was brought in, which was basically, like, premeditated conspiracy to kill or conspiracy to murder. Oh, wow,
okay.
The Nebraska Attorney General's office, who was prosecuting their cases, said right off the bat they were considering seeking the death penalty for both of them.
Wow, okay.
Yeah. And if Bailey Boswell was convicted and did get the death penalty, she would have been the first female, like, killed by the death penalty in the state of Nebraska. During the trial, Trail, it's so hard, I keep seeing it's spelt the same. American grammar, am I right? During the trial, Trail claimed that Boswell, at the time, was high in another room when he killed Sydney, claiming she had nothing to do with it. However, prosecutors suspected that Boswell helped Trail dismember Sydney and get rid of her remains.
Yeah.
Trail was also quoted as saying, "A life for a life. That's the rules in my world. I should be put to death," after his confession.
Oh, okay. So okay. He confessed?
Yeah, he did.
Okay.
Because he said it was an accident, remember?
Oh, right.
Like,
so he's still...
confessed. Yeah, he's still right, standing so he's by this accidental bullshit. Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Now, this part right here, let me tell you. During Trail's trial, he also yelled out during a witness testimony, "Bailey is innocent! I curse you all!" And then slit his own throat. But of course, this was all for dramatic effect, and the wound was basically superficial, and he didn't fucking die, which he doesn't deserve to get out that easily, but, like, what are you doing? What did he slit his throat with? I don't know. I could not find anywhere, like, what it was. It was probably, like, a pin or something, like, you know, because they're allowed to have pins. But some people said, like, he had a razor and, like, there was other reports that he, like, made a shank or something. But they check you before you go. And, I mean, I guess you could hide it in, like, you know, weird places. But they check you before you go into the courtroom. Like,
yeah.
You can't go in there with weapons.
Okay, so my other question is, do you think he was trying to kill himself, or do you think he was just trying to be dramatic?
I think he was being dramatic, because he is a fucking psychopathic, sociopathic narcissist.
Yeah, okay.
And was doing it for, like, for this, for us to tell about it and be like, oh my God, can you believe this crazy thing this dumbass did?
Right.
So, Trail only pled guilty to improper disposal of skeletal remains, but pled not guilty to first-degree murder and conspiracy to commit murder. Like, what the fuck?
Okay, wait, say that again? So he pled guilty to...
improper disposal of skeletal remains.
Okay.
But he pled not guilty to first-degree murder and conspiracy to commit murder.
So he's basically saying it was an accidental death, but yes, I did improperly dispose of her remains because I should have just...
dismember and dispose... Yeah.
Right.
That's not improper. Okay. That is, like... that's
right,
dark.
because if it would have been an accident and you went to police, that would have been proper. I guess you're not disposing of it, but, like, whatever.
Yeah. Okay. Or if he just, like, left her there, or, like, left her on the side of the road.
Right.
But he cut her up.
Yeah.
Like,
no
man. No.
Like, I don't care if you're saying you didn't do this, but her body was found dismembered with the organs gone.
Yeah, where are those?
You're saying you did this. You're admitting that you did this. So how did her body end up like that?
Yeah. There's a lot of question, unanswered questions.
Yeah.
However, Aubrey Trail was convicted on first-degree murder and improper disposal of human remains. However, he was not charged with conspiracy to commit murder.
Oh, so I wonder if, I guess it just wasn't, like, the jury wasn't unanimous on that. But my question is, isn't first degree premeditated?
Yes, I believe so. First degree is premeditated. Second degree is heat of the moment.
Right.
Kind of thing. And then,
but still purposeful. And then there's, like, accidental.
Yeah. And then manslaughter.
Okay. That's interesting that they also had the conspiracy to commit charge on top of a first degree murder charge, but I know nothing about the law.
I'm sure when you get down to the nitty gritty of it, there's some big difference between the two of them, and that's why they were being charged with it. Now, during Bailey Boswell's trial, a witness claimed that, quote, Bailey Boswell got off sexually talking about those kinds of things, referring to killing and torture. And during both of their trials, three women testified about how the couple would lure women into their sex cult via the dating app Tinder. And then they would convince, or try to convince them, that Trail was a vampire who could fly and read minds, and that Bailey Boswell was a witch.
Oh.
And the women said they were all recruited via Boswell's Tinder account between July and November of 2017.
Wow.
So based on this, this is why I think... So Bailey Boswell was convicted of first-degree murder, conspiracy to commit murder, and improper disposal of human remains. And I think the reason why she got that was because she was the one doing the recruiting and the luring on her Tinder account.
It was her Tinder, okay.
Even though I'm sure he was, like, behind a lot of it, too.
Right, but it was connected to her cell phone number.
Yeah, so I think that's why she did get that charge and he didn't.
Okay.
And like I mentioned, both of them were facing the death penalty.
Right.
So due to good old COVID, their sentencing dates were postponed. But as of Monday, November 8th, so just a couple of days ago, 2021, Bailey Boswell was unfortunately spared the death penalty, but was sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole.
Wow. I'm like gray area on the death penalty.
Yeah, I am too. But I feel like these people, they can't, I don't feel like they could be rehabilitated to the point where they deserve to live. I don't know. That's it's true. Not really my choice or
they'll
my
have to
judgment.
Suffer in jail forever.
Yeah, but is jail really that bad? I mean, you get hot meals.
I guess it depends where you are.
Yeah. But, like, a lot of these high-security prisons, they have, like, fucking tablets, cable TV, jeez, like,
that's
Dove
so
soap.
Dove soap. I like how that's on the same par as tablets and TV.
It's just, like, yeah, it sucks you're locked in a cell. And probably, like, you know, depending on what kind of prison she's at, she might have, like, 1 hour of, like, what do they call it, like, free time
or whatever,
public time. Yeah. Whoa. So it may super suck for her, but also may not be that bad.
Yeah. Okay.
But, yeah, I'm with you on the gray area. Like, it's definitely not my place to decide whether someone should live or die, but if somebody else wants to decide it, and I'm like, yeah, do it. That's okay. So Judge Vicki Johnson, who was the person who read the decision, said, quote, the murder was coldly calculated. Boswell relished in the murder. There was needless viewed mutilation of the body. The murder was senseless, and Sidney Loof was a helpless victim. Sidney Loof was needlessly mutilated by Trail and Boswell as part of a plan to satisfy their sexual desire. The mutilation was not done as an afterthought to hide the body.
Mm, interesting.
Yeah. Aubrey Trail, on the other hand, wasn't as lucky. And on June 9th of 2021, so this was like several months ago, he was sentenced to death. After telling the court that he couldn't care less what kind of punishment received, he also did not apologize to Sydney's family, saying it would be a, quote, insult to do so. And he repeated again the earlier claims that Boswell was innocent and did not take part in the killing.
All right, well, dude, she was convicted, so get the fuck over it.
Yeah, she was there. She was fucking there.
What?
Like,
why would she
dude.
Be allowed to be there?
No. Oh, I'm saying, she was there for the murder.
I thought you meant at the trial. I was like, what the fuck? Okay, yes. Agree. Yeah. She was there. She was not innocent. Like,
no. And maybe she was under some kind of, vampire blood curse or something. And was, mystified by him or something. But regardless. But
she was still there.
You're a consenting adult and you signed up for that shit and you were there.
Yep.
So I guess during at least one of their trials, Sydney's parents did testify. I'm assuming they did a victim statement.
An impact statement, yeah.
But aside from that, they didn't really speak out much during the trial. However, they did take to Facebook and express their sadness about what happened to their daughter, of course.
Yeah.
They said, quote, "She was looking for that one special person with whom she could spend her time. She took to Tinder to look for that person and unfortunately found someone that had nothing but evil plans for her. They are thankful Sydney's murderers will never again see the light of day."
Wow. And it's so sad that she, she was like, oh my gosh, I'm so excited. I really hope that this person isn't lying and that this is going to be as good as I think it is.
Yeah, it is. Oh. It's awful. Yeah, this case is it's horrific.
Yeah. And they still never said what they did with the organs or what they're, and it was literally most likely a sexual fantasy type of thing.
The murder itself?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the murder itself was some kind of sick sexual fantasy fulfilled. The organs and all of that, I have no idea what their thought process was and what they did with that. I mean, obviously, I guess if you try to sell something on the dark web or the, what's it called, black market, there's probably not a paper trail back to you. So,
right.
You know, I don't know if that's what happened necessarily or... I don't know. Okay. Police could never recover it and can never get anything out of them as far as what they did with that. But no family, especially, bury their child in those circumstances. That's terrible, evil, the worst of the worst.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that was a heavy one. So.
Well, thank God Sydney sent her friend a photo of that girl.
That literally could have been the red herring that solved the case, you know?
Right.
I mean, I think they would have eventually probably figured it out just because some of the other stuff, like the apartment and the pings and stuff.
The security footage.
But who still, knows? Maybe not. You never know. And it may have taken way longer. So that's kind of how we always say, if you see something, say something. Don't be afraid to step up and say something, even if it's, I've made this fake Tinder profile for my friend to try to find these people, and here's their phone number. I mean, it could lead nowhere, or it could lead to a break in a case.
Exactly. And always, always, always share where you are going with your friends. Share your phone location with your friends.
Yes.
Anytime you're going anywhere alone or with somebody you don't know, just share. Just share with somebody. Where you're going, what you're doing, who you're with, whatever.
It's there for a reason. This technology is there for a reason. We live in a very crazy world. I mean, there's so much crazy stuff going on every day. It's very sad. But thank you guys for listening. Keep sending in your case suggestions. We love, I guess, hearing, reading about new cases, researching new cases, uncovering new cases, because... I mean, we're both true crime fans, but we don't know every case.
Right.
I mean, there's just no possible way we could, you know?
No.
Because there was, tons of true crime before we were even born. So keep sending the cases in. And you can find, if you want to email us, you can go to our Instagram at @inhuman_podcast. And there's a link in our bio, which will take you to our link tree. And at the very top, there is a little email envelope that you can click
thing.
and it'll just pop up with our email address, and you can put case suggestions. And also, if you don't remember from the last episode or you don't follow us on Instagram, We are taking listener stories. So if you have like a true crime or spooky story you want to share with us, we've already gotten a couple and they're pretty good. So we're excited to share those. Please send those in. Please hurry, hurry.
Yes.
We have something really exciting planned, but we need you guys. It's a call to action. We need you guys.
Yeah. And like Andrea said, there's already been some. So thank you so much to those of you who have sent some in and keep sending them. Nothing is too small. Feel free to give us all the details and go in depth because we love them. And it's like crazy to hear about these types of things happening, I guess, in real life. I mean, I know all of this is real life, but like when somebody that you know or is telling you about something that happened to them, it's way different.
Yeah, it is. It's, yeah, for sure. And we're going to be sharing a couple of our own stories, I think, as well. So you'll get to hear those as well. So send those in. And make sure you're following us on all of our social medias. Those are all linked in our link tree as well. Our Facebook is linked too, right?
Our Facebook's linked. And I always put all of those. I put the link tree in the show notes as well. So you guys can like find everything just right in the show notes.
Yeah, so you can just scroll down and click and it'll be like boop right there, so you don't even have to like go searching for it. So but that is all that I have for you guys today, and thank you guys so much as always for listening. Thank you for all your ratings and reviews. Keep doing that as well, and until next week, keep it human.
Bye.